Hello, this is KPTZ Port Townsend, 91.9 FM on your radio dial. You can also listen to us online at kptz.org. I'm Mary Ann McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around town? The guy filling the bins at the co-op, the young guy behind the counter at Port Townsend's first recreational marijuana store, the woman who belonged to the knitting circle. Or what about the clerks who renew car or boat licenses down at the courthouse? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Port Townsend. We talk with people who make up the eclectic mix in Jefferson County. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the northwestern edge of the USA. We'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers, and teenage beauty queens. We'll find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in Port Townsend. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people, your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know yet, but you'd like to meet them. Today we're going to be talking with Tatiana Faliolo Nolan, a young woman with strong ideas about her future. Tatiana's 19 years old, and she's a recent graduate of the Wooden Boat School. She's now working part-time and looking for full-time work in the maritime industry. Welcome to the show, Tatiana.
Hello.
Let's start at the beginning. Were you born in Port Townsend?
I was born in Vancouver, Washington.
Okay, and did you live there a long time, or what happened?
We kind of moved around a lot, So it was a mix of Vancouver and moving up here and just all over the place in Washington. And then when I was really young, like still maybe three, we moved to Hawaii.
Cool. Where in Hawaii?
We lived on Oahu on the North Shore side.
I see. Now, Hawaii is sort of a dream in a way for many people. It's an island paradise. What was it like to be a young kid growing up there?
I thought it was great. You got to do everything. We got to go swimming all the time, and it was always hot. We got the sun all year round. We got to go hiking a lot. We were just always busy kids, and there was always something to do because of probably the weather, and there's just so much time down there.
So did you do a lot of water-type things? Were you into surfing or swimming or boating or all of the above?
I was just really into swimming when I was a kid, and I would try to catch all the little fish in the water. But I didn't really start surfing until I moved up here, and my brother is teaching me how to surf right now, but I'm still not too great at it.
I see. So do you have various brothers and sisters?
I have two older brothers.
Two older brothers, and you're the baby of the family then?
Yeah.
And so did your brothers teach you a lot of outdoor sports?
A little bit of my brothers and my parents. We did all kinds of hiking when we lived in Hawaii. We went, like, everywhere. And then we always were catching the bus anyway, so we got a lot of exercise wherever we went. They also taught me how to, like, skateboard. Especially when I moved up here, they taught me how to longboard. But when I lived down there with my buddies, we would just sit on the longboards and just go down the hills and try to not crash or, like, rollerblade down the hills and stuff.
I guess when you grew up more or less in Hawaii, you didn't have such things as big boots or jackets or hats or gloves or all of that.
Yeah, we didn't have to worry about that. Actually, when I was a kid, I didn't learn how to tie my shoes till I was at least 12 because I was always barefoot. I would run around barefoot all the time. Go to school barefoot, come home. I was just a little monkey.
Wow. So they let you go to school barefoot there.
Well, you weren't supposed to, but we almost all did anyway. We just didn't listen.
I take it the schools didn't have uniforms then.
We had an elementary school. We just had like a little shirt that says Kahuku Elementary on it. And that's all we really had to wear. Five times a week, except Fridays, we could wear whatever we wanted. That was pretty much it, was just a shirt.
Okay. Now, I've always heard that Hawaii is very much a ethnic melting pot. There are all different races there. Is that true?
Yeah, it's a big variety of Polynesians. There's Samoans, Tongans, Fijians, Tahitians. It's just a variety of people down there, Melanesians. I think it's really great because down there you learn like all the different cultures all in one place instead of having to go to different spots to learn, oh, maybe I want to learn how to speak Tahitian. You don't got to go all the way to Tahiti. You could just go to Hawaii and learn it down there.
So our listeners can't see you, but I can. And I noticed that you're wearing a flower behind your ear. Is that just a style statement or is it something more?
It's a style statement in Hawaii. It's called a heitiare. This is a fake one, but there's real ones in Hawaii, and they smell amazing, and they're really pretty, but they don't have pearls in the middle either.
Yeah, probably not the real ones.
Yeah, but we wear, like, hibiscus or plumerias, or it's just everybody likes to put flowers behind their ears as a fashion statement.
Okay, and are you of some Polynesian descent yourself?
Yeah, I'm part Samoan.
President Obama lived in Hawaii for part of his life, and he's spoken about how the races really do get along there. Does that tend to be true?
It can be true. I guess it depends on the person or the area, because sometimes they can be racist towards each other, like, oh, Tongans are better than Samoans or whatever, but usually everybody gets along pretty well.
Well, that's good. And so how old were you when you ended up in Port Townsend?
I think I was 13 when I moved up. Yeah, I was 13 when I moved up here to Port Townsend.
And which school did you go to first?
The first school I went to was Blue Heron for 8th grade. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Port Townsend in 9th grade.
Okay. And was it a bit of a change to go to Blue Heron after going to school in Hawaii?
I thought it was a really dramatic change for me. Because in Hawaii, we all talk funny, and we call it talking in pidgin. So when I moved up here, everybody thought I had an accent. They're like, you talk funny! And it was, like, kind of hard to make friends at first because I talked funny, and I sounded funny and looked funny. Huh. So it was, like, kind of hard for me to adapt, I guess, socially.
Well, being in eighth grade is a difficult time for most people anyhow. So coming across, you know, back from Hawaii and speaking differently, you must have had a tough time of it.
Yeah, it took a while to actually make a lot of friends because, like, oh, that girl's so weird, that brown girl in the corner.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad. And what about classes? Did you have any problems adjusting to the classes here?
They weren't too bad. If anything, they were the same as in Hawaii. It took almost all the same classes I did in Hawaii as I did when I moved up. So it wasn't really much of a change.
I think
it was more of the people that was a change than the classes.
Okay, so academically it was okay, but socially it was sort of a mess.
Yeah.
Now, how long do you think it took to make some good friends?
It took, like, maybe that whole year of eighth grade to actually find some really good friends that weren't really mean or would create a lot of drama.
Well, but ultimately you did succeed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so then you graduated from Blue Heron and you went to Port Townsend High School, correct?
Yeah.
And how was the first year there?
It started out okay, but it didn't really work out for me. I didn't really get along with the teachers or the curriculum. And I didn't really get along with any of the people, so I skipped school a lot, and I didn't really want to go to school anymore, and academically, I failed kind of a lot because I was always skipping school. So after the whole year of ninth grade at Port Townsend, that summer, I went back to Hawaii, and while I was down there, my parents were trying to find, like, an alternative program, like a homeschool program. And my dad found out about the PIE program through a buddy at work because her kids went through the PIE program. So when I came back up from Hawaii in 10th grade, I started the PIE program.
Okay. Now, a lot of our listeners probably haven't heard about the PIE program. And it's not like apple pie, right?
No, it's math pie.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell us what it is.
It's an alternative program at Chimicum High School. It's like if you don't want to do any high school classes or you don't want to be at school like 6 hours a day, you can go to PIE, and PIE gives you all these, like, different classes. Like, one of them was the boat building class, and then you have the Puget Sound voyaging, and then you have your main classes, but you only have to go to them once a week for 2 hours, and then you come back every week.
And so what are you defining as a main class?
The main classes were English and math and history and civics, but math you had to go to at least twice or three times a week, but history or civics or English, you only had to be there like once a week for 2 hours.
Hmm. Okay. And so how many kids would be in the PIE program at any given time?
Well, it ranges from kindergarten to 12th grade. So anywhere from kindergarten to 12th grade, you could be in PIE.
Interesting. I was under the impression it was just for high school kids.
Oh, no, it's for everybody. It's like if you don't want to be in normal public school. You can go be in PI. It's like half homeschooling, half you got to be at school.
Interesting. Interesting. So in ninth grade, you said you were at Port Townsend High School and you were skipping a lot and failing, basically. What did you do when you were skipping? Did you just hang out with friends or where did you go?
I would usually just go to my friend's house or we would just walk around downtown or we would just waste time until my parents had to come and pick me up because they thought I was at school.
Uh-huh. So you would go back to the school to be picked up? Did it take them a long time to twig what you were doing?
No, because they kept getting calls and I just kept making up excuses. Oh, I was just late. But after a while, they're just like, no, you weren't. You're just skipping school all the time. And they figured it out.
Yeah. Had they had to go through anything similar with your brothers or were they more academically?
Well, my brothers lived in Washington while we lived in Hawaii. So they would only come down there during the summers. So they... My parents wouldn't really have to deal with school, I guess.
I see. Okay. Yeah. All right. So when you were in the PI program, so you started in 10th grade, right? And so it sounds like you did the regular classes, English, math, and all that, but you picked some other electives. So what did you pick?
One of the first classes I picked, and I kind of winged it, because we had to sit down and talk to one of the teachers. And she's like, oh, well, these are electives you can take. And it was like guitar and PSV and boat building. And there was even some science classes that were electives. And I was like, oh, well, I'll try the boat building class and the PSV class. But at that time, the PSV class was already full. So
what is PSV?
It's Puget Sound Voyaging.
Okay.
But it was already full, so I couldn't get into that one because they already had a crew they needed. So I got into the boat building class. And it's at the Community Boat Project with Wayne Chimenti. And it was awesome. I thought it was like the greatest class ever when I first started. I was like, wow, I've never done any of this before. This is so exciting.
And so what did you actually do?
When I first started there, one of the first projects I remember starting, which is funny, was just painting a canoe we had. Uh-huh. And then we also put up a bow shelter, and I learned how to do that my first year there. And it was like a lot of rearranging because they're still building the Community Boat Project at the same time as they were building their boats. And the same year that I started towards the middle, we started to loft one of our long doors called the Epic. And that's been like my main project since I was in the Community Boat Project. And we worked on it for like 3 years and it's almost done.
Wonderful. And so in terms of the physical aspect of it, whether it's painting or sanding or whatever, had you done that kind of thing before?
I have never done sanding or painting it at all, actually. I mean, maybe painting on a piece of paper, but I've never painted a boat or a house, or it was just really new because I had no experience at all. But it was really easy.
Were there many girls in the program?
When I first started, there was quite a few girls, and for a while and up until my senior year, there were still quite a few girls. Because everybody thought it was fun to go to that class. Because we also got a lot of food, too. So everybody was always going for the food.
What kind of food?
Well, Marcy, she was our teacher, and she would buy all the great stuff. She would take us to Farm's Reach, and we get to pick out either a sandwich or some kind of little cookie or something. And then we have this thing called Sea Stores, which is our version of a lunch. And she'd have a variety of things from beef jerky to cake or apples. A lot of healthy stuff, too, but a lot of the stuff was really yummy.
And so what stands out to you as the most interesting aspect of boat building?
I think it's really interesting in Community Boat Project sense because not only do you learn how to build boats, but you also learn how to paint them, sand them, and you also learn how to build other things like shelves or boxes, toolboxes. Or just like a variety of things.
Well, you're a relatively small woman. Is any of it too physically difficult for you?
It can be at times, but if I thought it was difficult, I would just go ask someone, hey, can you help me carry this over there? Because I can't lift it up. And it was always a teamwork kind of process. So we'd always have someone to help each other or we could go help someone else. So I had physical problems a lot because of how tiny I am. So I was always asking someone to help me carry a certain project to a different place.
Hmm. Okay. Now tell me a little bit more about the Community Boat Project.
Well, anybody can show up. We have a lot of volunteers, and we also have a lot of mentors. On Thursdays from 1 to 5, we have the kids from PI program. But not only the PI program kids can do it, also kids from the Oceans program or just homeschooling if they want something to do and they want to get hands-on projects, they could come in from 1 to 5. And the volunteers, they could come in whenever they feel like, but usually Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays are our open days, open shop days. The projects are always changing. They're always different. Like, we could either be working on the Epic, or maybe over here we're working on building new shelves, and it's just, there's a lot to do, yeah. It seems like.
So, physically, where is the project? If someone wanted to show up to help, where would they go?
Well, at this moment, we're trying to get another bow shelter finished, and that's what we're shooting for. So especially on Saturdays is big open shop days. If any volunteers want to come in and help us finish out the bow shelter, that's one of the main projects we're doing right now. And another one of the other ones is we're trying to finish out Epic, like varnishing and painting still. And we got to finish the skid on the bottom.
So is it down at the Boat Haven? Is that where we're talking about?
Where the Ajax Cafe is, yes. In Havelock. So you're going down the hill, but before you get all the way to the bottom, you take a left and you follow this dirt road and it takes you up a hill and you find this building that looks like a tent type thing, I guess.
And that's where you, if someone wants to help out, that's where they go. They go, yeah, to the Ajax Cafe and follow the road, right?
So usually there's a big sign that says Community Boat Project with an arrow and it points you right up.
Ah, perfect.
It's right next to the boat school.
Okay, that sounds excellent. You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. The show's called Our Town, features some of the fascinating individuals who live and work on the peninsula. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Today I'm talking with 19-year-old Tatiana, a young woman rushing to her future on her own terms. Many teenagers take the standard path and enroll at UW or another prestigious university. Tatiana has other plans. So tell me, Tatiana, what made you decide not to follow a more standard path and go to UW or another school? What kicked you in that direction of becoming a boat builder?
Well, since I started at the Community Boat Project in 10th grade, I just really loved it, and I was really good at woodworking. I was like, wow, I'm actually good at something. So I kept going with the flow, and I had no plans in attending any colleges because I hate school,
yes,
for one, and I didn't want to go to school for, like, another 2 years or another 4 years. And besides, I thought boat building was, like, the most fun thing you could do because you could create masterpieces with your own two hands and you could just make the most beautiful things. And then if you're going to college, you just got to sit in a 4-hour lecture and fall asleep the whole time. I guess I'm just not really interested in college in a sense of the classes they have.
I can understand that.
Or the majors they have.
Yeah. And so was this something, did you just sort of drift into it because you started in 10th grade? Was it just a progression, or did at some point you actually make a concrete decision that this is what I want to do?
It started as a progression, but by the time I was in 12th grade, I was like, well, this is really cool. And by then I found out that the boat school was down the hill from us, and they do a 1-year program and they give you associate's degree for it. So I was like, wow, that's an easy way to get an associate's degree, and you get to have fun and you get to build awesome things. So I was like, that would be a cool career to go into because the boat business is like booming right now too. So I was like, you know, I'll just do that. And I just went with the flow and just kept going with Community Boat Project. And then slowly I ended up at the boat school.
Well, so what did your parents think of this idea?
They thought it was awesome.
That's great.
They expect me to build a boat for them still. It might take a while.
Well, what kind of boat?
They're not very specific. My mom's like, just build me a really big boat, like a mansion. Yeah, Mom, one day.
That's fun. That's fun. So you enrolled in the 12-month course at the boat school, and you said you get an associate's degree. And so are there... Is it all hands-on stuff, or are there actually some more or less lectures on things like, I don't know, navigation or what? How does it work?
Well, we had a lecture almost every morning, but it didn't really have to do with navigation. The lectures had to do with any kind of project we were on, or the lectures ranged a lot from painting to, oh, well, this is what happens to screws, like metal screws and corrosion, and, oh, this is how you do a Carlin joint. And there were always different lectures, but we always had it like for 2 hours in the morning. So it wasn't always hands-on. Because we would have our lectures, and then we would also have field trips to other boatyards, and they would, like, oh, well, this is what we do in a real-life world after the boat school.
How many students are usually in a class at the group at the boat school?
My class was 66. We started with 66, and we ended with, I think, 47. Hmm.
So some people decide it's not for them, is basically that what happens?
Yeah, I had a buddy at the beginning of the year, and his name was Craig, and he was a really cool guy, and he was really good with what he was doing, because he made, it's called a hand plane, and it's for body surfing, and it was really gorgeous. But he just figured, you know, boat building's not really my thing, and I'm just really not into it, and that's why he dropped out. He just didn't really feel it, I guess.
But you remained enthusiastic.
Oh, I was so excited.
That's good. That's good. So you graduated just recently, right?
About a month ago.
Okay. And what are you doing now?
Well, right now I'm working with Wayne Chimenti at the Community Boat Project. And when I'm not there, I'm part-time working with Kim Carver at the hotel in Hadlock. It used to be called Nemo's. Mm-hmm. It's just like something to do since I have 4 days off and nothing else to do. So I'm not stuck sleeping in, laying around all day.
Yeah, well, that gets boring after a while, you know.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself going? What would you like to be doing?
Oh, I would love to do so many things. Oh. I have a range of things I want to do. I've always had this idea I want to just jump on a tall ship and leave.
Yeah.
I want to go be a sailor and just travel the world on a tall ship, or I've always had this idea of wanting to make my own board shop, or just a shop with anything wooden, like toys, or maybe longboards, skateboards, surfboards, or anything. And then I've also had the idea, oh, what if I just worked in a boatyard for a while, but it's kind of iffy right now.
So you're actively looking for a new job or more to do?
Well, I was, but right now I'm kind of just going with the flow and just waiting to see what happens with where I'm going. And I'm actually liking where I'm going right now, because working with kids at the Community Boat Project is actually really fun. It's just fun to teach little kids how to do certain things, like, oh, well, this is how you use a Japanese saw, or how to work on a bandsaw. It's just entertaining because they get so excited and they're like, wow, this is so cool. And they're not stuck on video games.
Yeah. They're actually doing something with their own hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Have you ever thought about being a teacher?
No. I mean, I thought about being a mentor, as in what I'm doing right now, but never a teacher.
but in fact, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, but we have this inside joke. We're like, no, we're called mentors, not teachers.
Yes. Well, you know, the best teachers are mentors, I think, you know, and you remember people who really teach you something interesting. I don't know. Back to the tall ships for a moment. Have you been out on any of the tall ships?
I've been out on the Adventures a couple times, but it was with school.
Uh-huh.
And then I've also gone down from here to Aberdeen on Lady Washington for a weekend. And that was really fun.
Yeah, that sounds cool. That really sounds like
a fun
thing.
It was a great experience.
Yeah. I don't know. Do any of the tall ships actually do really long voyages, like, you know, across to England or, I don't know, Hawaii or whatever?
I know Adventurous sticks around here, and I think they go to Canada and through the San Juans. They're pretty local, but I know Lady Washington, she comes up here every summer, but she goes down to California. So I think their longest voyage is from Aberdeen to California, and I heard it takes a couple weeks to get down there. And out of those two, those are the only ones that I really know a lot about. I'm not so sure about any other ones yet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you have a boat of your own at this stage?
No, I wish I did.
Would you like to build a boat?
I would love to build a boat. It just seems really expensive, and the process can take a long time, especially if it was my idea of the boat I wanted to build. It'd be really big, so that would take a while, and a crew, and that'd be really expensive.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, there are many people around Port Townsend who are, you know, that's their dream. They're building boats, and we all can watch and appreciate the beauty of the boats. You know,
yeah.
But obviously, you like doing the hands-on part of it. Whether does any of the hands-on part turn you off, or is it all good?
I think it's all great. If I have a problem, it's because I just mess up. But I just work it out and keep practicing until I'm good at it, and then it's like, oh, well, that wasn't too bad. But it usually doesn't take long to get through something. To me, it seems pretty easy. It just comes to me easily, I guess. So it's not too much of a struggle.
Yeah. Well, you're very enthusiastic. I imagine you're a good worker. Do you put your mind to it and keep going?
I try to.
So right now you're 19. Are you still living at home, or do you have your own place?
Well, I'm living at home right now, but working on saving up to move out.
I see. And what do you do in your off hours when you're not boat building or learning about boats? What else do you do?
I sleep. Or I usually hang out with my friends. Or actually right now, I kind of put this project off, but I'm making some Purple Heart nunchucks for my dad. So my friend has a lathe, and he's teaching me how to use a lathe right now. So sometimes I go over and we work on that. And he's going to show me how to do inlays. Or I also have projects at home that I always put off, but sometimes I work on it. Like, I'm making an actual heart out of Purple Heart, and it's taking kind of a while because it's really small and it's kind of hard to carve out.
Well, when we met before, you mentioned the race to Alaska. Were you part of it this year?
I was not part of it this past year. I would have loved to be, but I didn't really have the opportunity because I was in school and I couldn't have skipped out a whole month.
What about next year?
I'm definitely going to be in it next year, and it's going to be leaving on June 23rd. And I'm really excited. We're actually taking the Community Boat Project boat, the Epic, and that's going to be our boat for the race to Alaska. And it's going to be awesome because that's my baby, the Epic. So it's going to be so great to row and sail all the way up to Alaska and race.
Wow. So you're going to row this boat.
Yeah, it's a rowing and a sailing boat. Right? So if there's no wind, we'll probably row, or it depends on the conditions.
Okay, so I've always wondered about this. Some of the boats don't really have sleeping accommodations on them, some of the boats in that race. What happens? Are you camping, or do you just sleep sitting up more or less? What goes on?
I think our plan is we're going to camp. We'll probably go near shore and anchor, and we'll have half of the crew go to shore and camp on shore, and then half of the crew to sleep on the boat. Because it's, for the amount of people we have, it'd be really squishy and be like a can of sardines if 10 people slept on this boat. So it'd be more comfortable if it was half and half. And easier, too.
Yeah. And how long do you estimate it'll take to get there?
Well, I estimate, if our rowing is really good, I estimate that, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks.
Wow.
But I've heard it could take at least 3 to 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many hours a day do you row on something like that?
I guess that depends on the crew and how tired we get. I think the most I've ever rowed on one of our boats that we have is 7 straight hours of rowing.
Wow. That's an incredible physical feat to do.
It was really long.
Yeah. Wow. You must have been really sore afterwards.
We were all pretty sore and crabby.
And so do you practice?
Yeah, we have Saturday practices, and the crew always changes because some people want to do it or some people just don't show up. So every Saturday from like 12:30 to 4, whoever shows up, which is usually girls because we're wanting it to be an all-women's team that goes up to Alaska. But sometimes we don't have enough crew, so we just take people that are already at the Community Boat Project and be like, hey, you guys want to go rowing with us? We need like 2 more hands for rowing. And they're like, okay, so every Saturday, we always have a different group of people. It always changes out. And only like a few have stayed.
Okay. All right. Well, Tatiana, I can't believe this, but we're almost out of time here. Thank you for being on the show. And I think a lot of our listeners will be interested and intrigued to know that there are plans afoot for an all-female team to go in next year's race to Alaska. You've been a great guest. You've been listening to Our Town. This is Maryam McNellis.
Our Town has been engineered and edited by production coordinator Mike Schlexer.